this reading is from Philippians 4, chapter 4, verse 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Trace.
The one thing that I wanted to say, when it says be careful for nothing, this is King James, so it doesn't mean like don't care about anything. It means basically be anxious for nothing. That's like an old way of saying be anxious. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. We had an idea, really original, because I know Thanksgiving's coming up, but to do a mini sermon series about gratitude and what gratitude means, what Christians have said about how to be grateful. So this week, next week and the following one in November, we'll kind of be talking about that. Leading into Advent, which is Callie's favorite time of the year. The thing that I was thinking about, I don't know if you guys do this in your families, but you go around and everyone says what they're grateful for. Do some families do that? My family never really did that. I wish we did. Seems like a good practice, a good way of making it more than just about stuffing your face. So I was thinking, Trace and I had this really good conversation recently, and it was about, he said to me, sometimes, Neil, the sermons at Root and Branch, I love them. They're like, they've got all these big ideas. They're like high-flying and theoretical and interesting. But sometimes I want just something kind of tangible to hold on to like, how do I sort of live this out a little better? So I hope that's okay that I shared that. We take your feedback seriously. So we don't have a feedback box, but it's just throw it at us. I was thinking about this, I wanted to think not just like, what is the meaning of gratitude? What is the essence, the sort of, what is a poetic way to say it? But like, how do we be grateful people? How do we be in our day-to-day people who are just grateful for the big things, the little things, grateful for each other? And the answer is not simple, but I think if we can't answer that, we kind of have no business doing what we're doing. This meal that we're sharing, that we're getting together around, it's called Eucharist. Communion? Yeah. Eucharist, from the Greek Eucharistos, meaning Thanksgiving. This is a Thanksgiving meal we do twice a month. And we're so glad you're here. When we're around this table, we're practicing how to be more thankful people, how to say thanks better and more often. So that would be a tempting answer to this question, how do I be more thankful, would be to say practice it, say thank you more often. Notice the little things. In here, it seems like that's kind of what we're being told. Basically, like, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, lovely, of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. It sounds like this letter is saying the way to be more grateful, to notice the good stuff in your life, to be appreciative, is to kind of focus on those good things. Kind of like, just notice, just like, just you're so much to be grateful for. It's all around you. Just that's kind of one way of looking at this. But I don't think that's like a very surface level. I don't think that's what is really going on. I don't think that's actually a way to become more grateful, is to be told, especially by some old letter, but to be told, look at all the good things in your life. You should just appreciate them. Just like, wake up, you know, snap out of it. I recently broke my wrist, and I don't know if you saw on Facebook, but I'll just give you the quick and dirty version of how it happened. I'm supposed to be wearing my wrist guard right now, but I didn't want to. For the photographer, I wanted to seem, you know, cool. So I broke my wrist in the most humiliating way possible. It's kind of like when people ask you, what's one of the most embarrassing moments of your life? You know, I don't know when people ask you that, but sometimes people ask you that. This was close. If you want to know the real one, I'll tell you later. But the this one, I was going to meet my fiance Allison and her friends to watch the Chicago Marathon. We're going to cheer on some of her friends, some of mine. Some people go to Root and Branch for running. And I was late, of course, and I came out of the subway downtown, and I realized where I came out was on the wrong side of the marathon from where Allison and her friend were. And her friend was visiting from out of town. It was important that I meet her, so I had to get to the other side of the marathon. And it turns out, like, it took me like 5 minutes to realize this. I was like, okay, I just gotta find a place where I can cross the marathon. It turns out there's no place to cross a marathon. You would have to run a marathon around a marathon to get to the other side. Or you'd have to find a bridge or a tunnel, but there weren't any in that part of town. So I saw some guys like waiting for a gap and darting across, and I was like, I can do that too. But I couldn't, and you should never try to do that, because I was like, you know, having to dart this way and that way and kind of bob and weave, you know, that game Frogger, it was sort of like that. And I suddenly felt my right foot sliding under me, slipping on something slick. And I just, you know, it was like, it flashed. It took very a long time for me to fall. And I caught myself with my right hand, and I knew instantly that it was bad. I could feel it. But what was kind of worse was the shame, because there were hundreds of people walking. So like there was like the physical pain and the mental trauma like kind of equalized. But in any case, I had started my day off really excited, and then suddenly it was just like, this is the worst. I knew it was gonna affect my life for a while. But when I got to the doctor, when I went to the ER, and this is hilarious because Allison, my fiance, was like, I knew it was bad by how strangely calm you were, like by how you weren't kind of a whiny little brat. You were like, I broke my hand and I have to go to the ER now. Like, I was like in kind of a focused adrenaline mode. So when I got to the ER, they started asking me all these questions and doing all these tests on my hand. That suddenly made me realize, like, this could be really serious. Like, a hand injury is, and I'd broken bones before, but like, never did it seem like I had narrowly escaped something much worse, to the same extent. And I'm sure people have stories like this. And suddenly, instead of feeling like bummer, like, oh dang, like, I'm gonna have to probably wear a cast, or this is such a hassle, or I'm missing my friends, seeing the marathon, I just suddenly started feeling really good. I was like, this is awesome. Like, this won't, like, it's a clean break. Sweet, it's easy. And suddenly I was like almost euphoric for breaking my hand. I was in a great mood, but I just broke my hand. And I know it's a cliche, like, oh, like, recognizing how much worse it could have been, but it was true. Like, it was when I sort of thought of how bad it could have been, and sort of plunged into that, like, dark well of, oh my God, it could have been horrible. I was suddenly, how relatively minor it was, felt really good. But then this funny thing happened. I'm not gonna say who it was, but some people later, when I was talking to them, oh, how'd you break your hand? Told me this. One of them said something like, you know what? Breaking a bone is the perfect injury because you get the maximum amount of sympathy because it's like it's like a visible thing, and people are sorry for you, but it's not that embarrassing. You know, it's not like a big boil on your butt cheek or something, or like, and it's not like cancer. It's not like a really bad thing. It's gonna heal. And suddenly, I felt myself being really annoyed. I was like really annoyed that this person was telling me I should be grateful for like how relatively minor this was. Like I got like the good injury, like this the nice injury, and that didn't help me feel grateful. It made me feel just kind of like, you can't tell me that, you know? Like I get to decide when I'm like appreciative for it. So I think, I don't know, that made me think that just being told to be grateful is not going to work. I was recently in New York also, and I went to, this is actually not really helping my sermon, but I just want to tell you it. I went to New York, and one of my best friends from college, I wanted to meet his girlfriend. I hadn't met her yet. She was playing in a Spaceman 3, which is this weird punk rock band, cover band. And they're playing in a bowling alley. And my friend's like, just so you know, the bowling alley they're playing in is where that guy who got Ebola went that night. You know the guy in New York, the doctor? He's like, you're fine with that, right? And I was like, eh. But so we went, and a few days later, it was fine. There wasn't like Ebola flying around. But 2 days later, I came home and got the worst flu I've had in like 5 years. And it was like, I know I don't have Ebola, but it was the kind of flu where you wake up in the middle of the night and you can't sleep well. And in one of my half awake kind of moments, I was like, I had created a whole story for how I got Ebola. I was convinced that like the guy had hawked a loogie in like a beer glass, and the loogie had like encased around the Ebola so that even like when they washed it and it was still like keeping some of it moist. And then when I got the beer, sorry, just taking a big drip. When they filled my glass with beer, suddenly the Ebola was released. but I don't know. That was sort of a moment of gratitude that I didn't really have Ebola. But the main thing I want to say is this: I don't think we can become more grateful by being told to be like, look at all the wonderful things you have. I think practicing gratitude is part of it. I think the answer that Christians have come up with is like, you say thanks. Not just say thanks to each other and be grateful, but giving thanks is something we do each week in church. Giving thanks is something we're supposed to do in our sort of prayer and meditation lives. It's part of like what it means to pray, is to give God thanks. But it's not, that's part of the puzzle. The more interesting and kind of harder to get put your finger on piece is here. How we're supposed to pray. In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And so I looked at that, and I think there's something really weird about this. When we're giving thanks, we're also supposed to be asking for something, supplicating, right? And making requests. When you're supplicating or making a request, you're admitting that something is wrong. You're admitting that something is, that not everything's hunky-dory. You're admitting that you may have some need. It's not the kind of like, oh, buck up, think positively, focus on the positive. Written into how we're supposed to give thanks is to make requests, to supplicate, which means acknowledging all the crap that's not so nice and pretty. Okay, so that's how we think. But even there, I think there is another answer that Christian traditions talks about, that it's not enough to just like kind of do this a little bit, and gradually, eventually we'll become a thankful person. Christianity and what like Jesus was doing when he was around, he was going to people and not just telling them, okay, for 5 minutes a day, like meditate in the morning, pray, give thanks to God, and then you'll be fine. He was doing some like radical jostling of people's whole lives and calling people to do things like repent, which is a weird word that needs unpacking, but kind of do some like serious turning around, like shaking people up, saying that there's something in us that is really blocking us from being open, grateful, receptive to all that's good. And that is a hard thing to talk about. And I think though, like the way he did that and the way we can do that, you know, Christians have differed over the years about how one does that. The Protestant Reformation was all about, you need to have this radical moment where you do this for your whole life. You admit how helpless you are, how much you need something beyond yourself. And that's what gives you, it's only through God's grace that turnaround can happen. Catholics and Orthodox Christians, I would say, have a more processed kind of lifelong view of that. They think that needs to happen, but it's something that doesn't necessarily, you know, happen at one discrete moment in your life. There's all kinds of debates about prevenient grace, God's grace being there before this big moment of grace. But a lot of early American Christians thought you had to have the discrete, sharp moment. And if you hadn't had one, they would put you on the anxious bench. These were the Puritans. And they would like kind of tell you about hell until you had it. A lot of churches wouldn't let you come until you could talk about this experience. Now, Root and Branch, we don't do that. I mean,
not yet.
But I think there's like an easy kind of dismissal of that. And there's something we'd be losing if we forgot about that kind of intensity, that like that intrusion kind of experience that is not just, I'm going to do it a little bit here, a little bit here, kind of like an exercise. That there is something about, there's something, if we're truly to become more grateful people, more receptive to the life and goodness that's all around, sometimes we need to do one of these in a radical way. The way I sometimes make sense of it is that there are a lot of things that happen just by virtue of being human, but also by virtue of being raised in a lot of the families we've been raised in, that kind of gummed up the works of gratitude, that kind of blocked the openings, that make it really hard for us to just say, even if we kind of are told or we can kind of rationally see all the good things in our life that we should be thankful for, it doesn't really hit us. It doesn't feel like, oh my God, I'm grateful for that. So these kind of shake-up moments, which I think, again, can't just happen once. I think they're part of a larger process. We can have multiple shake-ups. We can have a good shake-up and then kind of fizzles away. Is the same thing. It's admitting there's some stuff that I need help with. There's some stuff that is really hard that has happened in my life. There's some stuff that is still happening in my life. There's stuff that is hard about life. There is stuff that I, through my best type A efforts to kind of control, manage, and change, still can't manage to do. I need help with that. And that's how we become grateful. The English language doesn't illustrate this very well, but the Spanish language does, actually. That the word for grace, what's the word for grace? Do you know, Emily? In Spanish? Yeah, exactly. And the word for thank you is gracias, right? The word for grace is the same as the word for thank you. That being able to say thank you, say gracias, we need to have this powerful experience of grace, which is impossible to experience without that kind of stopping the furious need to fit it all together ourselves. To manage on our own. So, I'm glad no one here has Ebola. We should all be grateful for that. I'm grateful for everyone here. I want to try something a little different, which is I want to open this up, and I want to ask not for what people think about what I said or about the passage, but is there anything that has happened in your life or that you've seen happen in life or that can be told in a kind of story form that these sort of ideas or or my little story called up in you? That, is there something that it reminds you of? Is there something that maybe you're going through recently or a long time ago? And it doesn't have to be earth-shattering. It can be a kind of simple illustration of it. But to kind of get it a little bit out of our opinion self and more into our life self. That's my challenge. Is that too hard? No?